Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station from Emory and Henry College. Wombats and Music is my chance each week to play for you songs I love and occasionally throw in something odd, something I've recorded or a story or a joke. And I call those oddball things wombats. That's where I get my title, Wombats in Music. And tonight I have two absolute, authentically wombat things. Quite wombatish. In fact, the very first song I'm going to play is a wombat. So let's start off with that. This is something I recorded live on a little digital recorder. Oh, I guess maybe, it might have been a cassette recorder probably, 20 years ago. I was at a music camp for a week, and there was a young man there, I think he was about 20, who played the banjo. And I heard him playing one day, just sitting by himself outside in a little sort of courtyard. And I went over to talk with him, and I liked what he was playing. I'm a banjo player, and he clearly was a level or two above me. And I really liked the tune he was playing. It sounded very what I call old-timey and a lot of little ornamentation and stuff. And we got talking about it, and I recorded him telling me about the song, which you're going to hear him talking, and then playing it. I never got his name. So this is a live recording, a field recording, we'd call it. And the name of the song, he told me, was Brickyard Pond. And I have searched for it. I find no record of any song called Brickyard Pond. But I have, perhaps, the only recording of it ever made. So here he is, a young man, 20 years ago or so, playing Brickyard Pond.
Brickyard Pond.
It's in your town.
Yeah, and what happened was I started to write this tune about 2 years ago, and I started off with just a real melodic line, and then after hearing some of the old time fiddlers and stuff, it strayed a little bit, but it's still not down to the old time style.
Sounded old-timey to me.
Thank you.
That was Brickyard Pond, recorded from live from an unknown musician over 20 years ago. Next up is Lollipop from 1958 by the Cordettes. Just a classic doo-wop kind of song. A lot of fun, a lot of rhythm, and a lot of fun to sing, I might add. So we're going to go right into Lollipop.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop,
boom, 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 boom.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop, lollipop,
boom, boom, boom.
Lollipop by the Cordettes. Next up is Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I have a particular attachment to this song because in 1987, I went to Australia. And it was a long flight and tiring. And we got there in the late afternoon and went to my wife's sister's house. And went across the street to some friends for dinner and came out in the dark. And I was pretty wiped out and tired. And we were walking across the street, and I looked up and saw the sky. It was a clear night, and it was different. I'd never thought that I had a pattern recognition thing in my myself to see the sky of the Northern Hemisphere. But here we were in the Southern Hemisphere, and it was very different, and it just looked different. And I remarked on this, and the guy pointed out to me the Southern Cross, which is a very distinct feature of the sky when you're on the in the Southern Hemisphere. And then I hear this song, and it's when you see the Southern Cross for the first time, and I had that experience. So this song kind of resonates with me. And I will now play for you Crosby, Stills, Nash, Southern Cross.
Out of town on a boat going to Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading line, the Marquesas. Got 80 feet of a water line,
nicely making way
in a noisy bar in Avalon. I tried to call you, but on a midnight watch I realized
why twice you ran away.
Think about
how many times I have thought of it.
see the Southern Cross for the first time. You understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow, my dreams are dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship and all her flags are flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I've had fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. What heaven brought you and me cannot be forgotten.
And we never failed to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. You will survive being bested. Somebody fine will come along, make me forget about loving you. In the Southern Cross,
Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And when you see the Southern Cross for the first time, if you haven't done it, maybe someday you will, and you'll get that little chill. Next song up is called The Auctioneer from 1958 by Leroy Van Dyke. He had actually had some experience as an auctioneer and wrote this song while serving in Korea. Came back to the States and managed to get an audition and get it published. And it went to number one, and he became a big star. And this is The Auctioneer. When I lived, my first job was in Columbus, Indiana, and I went to an occasional auction. The auctioneers at a lot of auctions don't do this kind of auctioneer chant, but at the livestock auctions, they tend to do it more. And I loved it. I thought it was great. So I thought I might learn to be an auctioneer, and I looked it up, and there was a school in Texas for a week. I think they had a week program and a 2 week program, and I was going to go down to Texas and learn to be an auctioneer. I never did. And it's just as well, because even though I think I could have mastered the auctioneer chant, a big part of being an auctioneer is having some idea what items are worth, and I've never had any or nor any real interest, so I wouldn't have been a very good auctioneer. But certainly Leroy Van Dyke in this song sings about one of the best auctioneers ever. It's kind of a fantasy story of to become the best.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there, and what are you going to give for him? I'm at 25, will he give me $30, 30, make it 30, bid it a 30, 35, another 40, make it a 40, bid it a 40, now 5, 5, 5, make it a 45, and now 50 on the bind there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him that he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bidder now, $30, 30, will he give me 30, make it 30, bidder to mama, $30, will he give me 30, hooray, bidder to $30 bid. $30 bidder now, 35, will he give me 35, to make it a 35, to bid it a 35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest. He practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bidder now, $40, 40, will he give me 40, make it a 40, bid it a bomb, $40, will he give me 40, hooray, bid it a $40 bid. $40 bidder now, 45, will he give me 45, to make it a 45, to bid it a 45, who would have bid it at a $45 bid? So from that boy who went to school, there grew a man who played it cool. He came back home a full-fledged auctioneer. Then the people came from miles around just to hear him make that rhythmic sound that filled their hearts with such a happy cheer. Then his fame spread out from shore to shore. He had all he could do and more. Had to buy a plane to get around. Now he's the tops in all the land. Let's pause and give that man a hand. He is the best hillbilly auctioneer. $45 bidder now, $50, 50, will you give me 50, make it a 50, bid it a bomb, $50, will you give me 50, hooray, bid it a $50 bid. $50 bidder now, 55, will you give me 55, to make it a 55, to bid it a 55, I sold that hog for a $50 bill. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let him out and welcome, boys. Here we come, a lot of number 29 in. What are you going to give for him? I'm a 25 to get $30, 30, make it 30, bid it a 30, now 5, another $40, 40, 45, another $50, 50, 50, make it a 50.
The Auctioneer by Leroy Van Dyke. Now we're going to John Cougar Mellencamp doing Cherry Bomb. John Cougar Mellencamp is from Bloomington, Indiana, which is about 30 miles from where I lived for 5 years, probably when he was a teenager. He was born in 51, and I moved there in 1965, so I guess he would have been 14. And a lot of his songs are about his teenage years in Bloomington. Bloomington's a strange place. It's the home of the University of Indiana, so there's a huge academic community there. But there's also, it's a factory town, workers' town, and John Mellencamp was from the worker side, and he brings that out. He's fairly well known in the music world because one of the things he did was he brought in folk instruments, homemade fiddles and fiddles, hammer dulcimers, auto harps, accordions. He brought them into the rock arena together with electric guitars, bass, and drums. And he was kind of instrumental in that happening, which gave him some new cred. He was well known in that community. And he's had more successful rock songs of this more country version than anyone. So this is John Cougar Mellencamp doing Cherry Bomb.
see, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The winter days, they last forever.
But the weekends went by so quick. We're riding around this little country town. We were going nuts, girl.
Cherry Bomb by John Cougar Mellencamp. Well, next up is Lorena McKennitt. She's singing The Mummer's Dance, and I've played things by her before. I never knew much about her, so I was just looking her up to see. She's Canadian, born in Manitoba, and she went to the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, and while she became a veterinarian, but she kind of got veered away from that into folk music. While she was there, she ran into the following musicians: Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, and Gordon Lightfoot. Wow. just to have met one of those three would be an honor. And somehow she got hanging out with all of them, and it moved her over into music. And she likes Celtic music and learned to play the Celtic harp and does some sort of mystical things. And the song we're going to hear from her, which is The Mummer's Dance, I don't know what it's all about, but it's good stuff. And so here is Lorena McKennitt playing The Mummer's Dance.
Thank you.
The Mummers Dance by Lorena McKinnitt. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baia. Wombats and Music is played on WEHC Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1. And it's my chance to play for you songs I love and occasionally throw in something odd, which I call a wombat. And we're coming up on a big wombat, probably one of the more wombatty things I've put on in quite a while. So here, get ready for that. This is a poem, and I will now bring you into that poem. This is The Man from Snowy River. I discovered this poem, I thought, in Australia while looking through some books. After I discovered it, I found out it's kind of the national poem of Australia. Everyone in Australia knows of it. And there have been two movies, The Man from Snowy River and the sequel, both, I thought, great movies. Anyway, this is a story, and I'm going to read you a little outline of what goes on. Then I'm going to read you the story. It takes about 5 minutes. It's a poem by Banjo Patterson, published in 1890. And yeah, I'm going to do it with a slight Australian accent. I apologize for that, but I love it. So anyway, here's what the story's about. The poem tells the story of a horseback pursuit to recapture the colt of a prize-winning racehorse that escaped from its paddock and is living wild with the Brumbies. That's the feral horses, wild horses. The Brumbies of the mountain ranges. Eventually, the Brumbies descend a seemingly impassably steep slope, at which point the assembled riders give up the pursuit, except for the young hero, the man from Snowy River, who spurs his pony down the terrible descent to catch the mob. That's what they call the horses, the mob. So, this, I'm now going to read you The Man from Snowy River. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away, and had joined the wild bush horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horses snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison, who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his bud was fairly up. He would go wherever horse and man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, for never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. He learnt to ride while droving on the plains. And one there was, a stripling on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse, undersized, with a touch of Timor pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eyes, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still, so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, "That horse will never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy stood his friend. "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the inn, for both his horse and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hoof strikes firelight from the flintstones every stride. The man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountain make their home, where the river runs through those giant hills between. I've seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen." So he went. They found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away toward the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders. "Boys, go at them from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wield them. Try to wield them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could keep the mob in sight if once they gain the shelter of those hills." So Clancy rode to Wheeldom. He was racing on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rages ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash. But they saw their well-loved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of the tread, and the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where mountain ash and courageon grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, "We may bid the mob good day. No man can hold them down the other side." When they reached the mountain's summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. And the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timber in his stride, and the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy barks and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew his bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the further hill, and the watchers on the mountain, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where the two mountain gullies met in the ranges, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track, till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and unalone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur. But his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway, to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockmen tell the story of his ride. That was The Man from Snowy River by Banjo Patterson, written in 1890. I was so taken with that poem when I came back from Australia that I memorized the entire thing. It took me about 6 months, something on that order. I mean, I would work on it every morning when I woke up and every night when I went to bed, and eventually I could recite the entire poem. But it turns out, I discovered, not many people want to listen to a 5-minute poem recited from memory, so I only ever really did it once. This time, I read it. Well, that was from the Australian culture, horsemen and heroes. And now we're going to switch over to something from the American culture of horsemen and heroes, or horsemen and myth, perhaps is a better way of putting it. This is Riders in the Sky by Vaughn Monroe. And when it was popular, it was a pretty scary song. So it comes from back in the 50s.
Riders in the Sky. An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. A ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Ghost riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-i-o, yippee-i-o.
Ghost riders in the sky.
As the riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Yippee-i-yo.
Ghost riders in the sky.
Riders in the Sky by Vaughn Monroe. I said 50s. Actually, the song is from 1948 and was also popular in 1949. Well, we're moving on now. We're back into my sort of my home base, folk music. This is the song called The Golden Vanity. I've always liked the tune, the melody to this, and the story. It's actually a kind of a long story, and not many recordings put all the verses in. Each verse is special. This one has the most of the story, and especially the ending, which I want you to listen for, because it's kind of, what can I say, poignant. one of the verses not in there is about the people dying in the Turkish ship that was sunk, how the water came into their room and ice cold, and that's a powerful verse. And I, one thing about folk music is that it's always being changed. I performed this song once at a concert, and I rewrote the ending. And instead of having what happens in this song, I had the boy come up on deck after his successful venture seeking the Turkish enemy. And the girl comes out on deck, and she doesn't care for him and jumps overboard. And then I leave it up to the audience to decide what happens next. Does someone save her? Does she drown? What? Anyway, but this is one of the original, more authentic versions of The Golden Vanity, and it's sung by a group called Celtic Kaleidoscope. So this is The Golden Vanity.
Oh, there was a lofty ship, and she sailed on the sea. And the name of that ship, it was the Golden Vanity. She feared she would be taken by a Turkish enemy. As she sailed upon the lowland, lowland, low, she sailed upon the lowland sea. Then up steps a cabin boy, just the age of 12 and 3. And he says to the skipper, what will you give to me if I swim alongside of your Turkish enemy? And I sink her in the lowland, lowland, low. I sink her in the lowland sea. Oh, I will give you silver and I will give you gold, and the hand of my daughter, if you would be so bold as to swim alongside of that Turkish enemy. And to sink her in the lowland, lowland, low. To sink her in the lowland sea. Then that boy he made her ready, and overboard jumped he, and he swam alongside of that Turkish enemy. And with his little drilling tool he bore it almost three. And he sank her in the lowland, lowland, low. He sank her in the lowland sea. Then that boy he turned around, and back again swam he, and he hollered for the skipper to haul him from the sea. But the skipper would not heed, for his daughter he did need. And he left him in the lowland, lowland, low. He left him in the lowland sea.
Then the crew they hauled him off, but upon the deck he died. And they wrapped him in a blanket so very soft and white. They cast him overboard to drift upon the tide. And he sank beneath the lowland, lowland, low. He sank beneath the lowland sea.
Oh, there is a lofty ship, she sails on the sea. But she sails without a cabin boy, the age of 12 and 3, and she fears she will be taken by a Turkish enemy. As she sails upon the lowland, lowland, low, she sails upon the lowland sea.
The Golden Vanity by Celtic Kaleidoscope. Currently in the press, there's a lot of talk about ecology and climate change and threats to various kind of life. This goes way back. And back in the 60s, I think it began, there was a lot of concern for the Everglades swamp in the southern part of Florida. I'm a Floridian and born there, raised there for many years. Well, until I was five, then I came to Abingdon. Anyway, but my family is all there, and my father's side. I go back. The Everglades has been threatened by various things, mostly by man doing bad things. Most recently, I read a long article, fascinating, about giant pythons have invaded. They are a foreign species, and they've eaten up almost all the little animals. Anyway, the following song is called Seminole Wind by John Anderson, and it expresses part of the threat to the Everglades, and does it in a powerful way. And it's just a beautiful song also. So here we go with Seminole Wind by John Anderson.
Holes. And way down south in the Everglades, where the black water rolls and the sawgrass waves. The eagles fly and the otters play in the land of the Seminole. So blow, blow, Seminole wind. Blow like you're never gonna blow again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow, blow from the Okeechobee all the way up to Micanopy. Blow across the home of the Seminoles, the alligators and the dogs. Came and took its toll, and in the name of flood control, they made their plans and they drained the land. Now the glades are going dry. And the last time I walked in the swamp, I sat up on a cypress stump. I listened close and I heard the ghost of Osceola cry. So blow, blow, Seminole wind. Blow like you're never gonna blow again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow, blow from the Okeechobee all the way up to Micanopy. Blow across the home of the Seminoles, alligators and the dogs.
Seminole Wind by John Anderson. We've got time for one more song, Let the Mystery Be by Iris DeMent.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain. So it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever. And some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. And I don't like the sound of that. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. I think I'll just let the mystery be.
That was Iris DeMint singing Let the Mystery Be. You've been listening to Wombats and Music with your host, Harry Baia. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your Emory and Henry radio station. Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.